Welcome, everybody. I want to read a verse to you in Revelation chapter 21. Yes, we're all the way to chapter 21 this week. I want to read verse 1. This is our series on the journeys through Revelation. Chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We'll stop right there. This chapter is exactly what this is talking about. The theme of chapter 21 is a new heaven and a new earth. What I wrote in my Revelation study guide, a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to discuss that in today's program. Stand by. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Brother Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle. We're on our journey through the book of Revelation. We have gotten more comments, more emails, more phone calls, people telling us how much they've enjoyed this series, and we're coming down to the final stretch now. We're gonna most likely finish chapter 1. Right, Doc? Are we going to do the whole thing today?
I think we can probably do
it. We're going to do 21, and next text time, 22 shouldn't be any problem at all to do in one session. And we're not hitting everything, obviously. We'd be here for years.
No way.
And by the time you'd get halfway through, you'd already have some new stuff to add to what you already did, because you're always gleaning and learning. But we're almost through this. We're hoping to put all of these on a flash drive or a DVD, one or the other, and offer that to you, the viewers. I'm not sure what it's going to cost yet, but it's going to be over 20 sessions on there. Maybe 25 or 30.
I don't know how many we are, but
there's 22 chapters, so there's at least 22.
Yeah.
And there's some that we did two weeks on. Yeah. So,
or three.
25, 26 sessions. What we're going to do is put the videos on a thumb drive for you or a DVD and allow you to purchase. And you'll be able to watch these anytime you want on your computer. And or if it's the DVD, I don't know how that works. I don't know if that can go on your TV or not. But we'll figure all that out as we go here. But we're working on that. So before we get started with this chapter, Doc, this is the final day of us being on CTN, I think. Now, this is pre-recorded. It's two or three weeks in the future as of this recording date. So I don't know if the money's come in or not, because we're not there yet at the date of this recording.
Maybe somebody sends $10,000 and we'll still be on the next section.
I gave my notice. I promised them a four-week notice. I gave that October 11th, Friday, which I think is today on CTN, if you're watching on Christian Television Network. You're seeing our last show unless some money came in. We don't know yet because, as I said, this is pre-recorded. What is the date today?
13th, I believe.
This is 13th September. This is like
September.
4 weeks. So it's 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, 4 weeks from today.
So I don't know if the money's come in or not. If the money's come in, you'll see us next Friday right here. If the money didn't come in, here's what you do. You go to channel 379. I think it's just three or four up on your DirecTV. If you have DirecTV, most of you do, you can watch us on there. And my wife will put that on the screen for you. And you'll know what day we're on and what time. Okay? So you don't have to lose us. You can also see us on YouTube, Rumble, and we're on some other networks as well, VTN in Arkansas. We're on, and several others. I don't have time to mention them all. You're welcome to call us or write to us or ask us for the brochure that tells every place that we're on, radio stations, what time we're on, what station it is, TV stations, YouTube, Rumble, all that stuff. We'll have all that on a nice color brochure, and we'll be glad to mail that to you free of charge. We want you to be able to watch our programs. Nobody has to fall through the cracks. Nobody. I mean that.
Amen.
Nobody. We're even willing, if you've got no internet and you've got no way to watch us except for right here, and you want to contact us, we'll work out a way for you to get a DVD in the mail every week. All we're going to do is ask you to pay the shipping on that, and it won't be a lot, but it'll be some work for us, but we'll send you a DVD every week of the show. So nobody has to fall through the cracks here. Okay, so $3.79 on the DirecTV, which is satellite, and most of our viewers on CTN have DirecTV. And so that's where you find us, but it'll be a different day. She'll put that up scrolling on the screen for us. She'll show you exactly what day and what time of day you'll be able to watch us right there on your DirecTV, okay? Contact us if you got any question or you got a concern. Contact us. The 800 number scrolling right there on your screen, and the website goes by all the time. There's the physical address right there behind us. It'll come back in a little bit. All right, so I hope we've made that clear for everybody, okay? Now, we do have one other thing to say. We've got my brand new book, The Daniel Study Guide. She'll put that up for you in just a second. And that's available right now. It's brand new. It's book size, regular book size, and it's spiral bound. You're going to love that. Spiral bound, open up flat on your desk. It'll be like no other Daniel Study Guide you've ever read, because it's Dan Goodwin's flavor, how I write and how I explain things, just simple, bottom shelf, okay? And at the same time, Doc, you have something. Tell them about your...
Yeah, I've got a DVD and a CD of it, fully animated PowerPoint of an overview of the Book of Daniel.
Yep, awesome, good. Get that. Both of these, you can go right to our website, Cross the Spotlight, and you can get to our bookstores, Doc and I, or just call the 800 number and they'll help you with that. Doc, let's jump into this here. Let me give just a read in my Revelation study guide, chapter 21. I give a little bit of a review here. Let me just read that, and then we'll get into the 7-year tribulation. Daniel's 70th week is recorded for us in Daniel 9 verses 24 to 27. And it has taken place at the time of this. It is finished.
Yes.
At the time of the opening of Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 that I read at the beginning of the show, the 70th week is over. Amen. Glory. Revelation chapter 6 through 19 is that 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year tribulation. In Revelation 19:11, Christ has come back with us, the saints. He has defeated the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist and the false prophet were and are sent to the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20. Satan was bound and locked into the bottomless pit. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation, his day's coming, Doc.
It's
already written down. It can't be changed.
Nope.
He's going to that bottomless pit. It's just a matter of time. Revelation 20, verse 2.
He's not going without a fight.
Yep. He's bound and locked in the bottomless pit in Revelation 20, verse 2. And the 1,000-year kingdom age began. And that's in chapter 19 and 20, I guess. In Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, we saw the awful end of all those who reject Christ. And they are brought up out of hell, judged, and sent to the lake of fire. That's the great white throne. That was last week we did that. Chapter 21 picks up right after the 1,000-year kingdom age. I've got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 21, what I read there, a new heaven and new earth, picks up right after the great white throne judgment at the very end of the kingdom age. When John sees a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. So let's pick up right there, Don. Let me throw it over to you.
Of course, we have chapter breaks in this. When it was written, there was no chapter 21 here.
Right.
And so the new heaven and new earth is a part of the great white throne judgment, because there we saw last time that everything is melted away and there was no place for them to be found at the great white throne judgment. All of that goes back to the book of Peter, and Peter talks about a time when the elements will melt with a fervent heat. This new heaven and new earth in chapter 21 is different than the restored earth for the millennial reign.
Right.
The millennial reign will have a restored earth that's going to be, I think, very similar to original creation under the flood,
Adam's day.
Under the canopy before the flood.
Yep.
Because we have so many things, especially in the book of Isaiah, of the habitat and the behavior of the animal world that does not exist in our present world but did before the flood. And so what has happened now is during the millennial reign, this city that we're talking about, the New Jerusalem, you read about it, that's coming down. This New Jerusalem has been suspended above planet Earth during the millennial reign. Reason why it hasn't come down until now is because this world is touched by sin. When God created it and put Adam and Eve in the garden, He put them there with the intention and with the ability, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, there was the ability for Adam and Eve to live as long as their soul and spirit, which is forever. But because of sin, the world has been contaminated and God has had to judge it. So now at the end of the millennial reign, God is going to, because time is no more, we're moving into the realm of no time, and I deal with that in a book I have called The Rapture Question about time, and we're moving into a realm of no time, and as a result, God's going to make a brand new earth, and now the new Jerusalem above is now going to come down to that new earth. And so this is a misnomer that you hear all the time, and we preachers have contributed to this often, and we preach about going to heaven and walking on streets of gold, and heaven's going to be a beautiful place. It's a celestial place. Oh, it's going to be all of these wonderful things, and that's not heaven. That's the New Jerusalem that we're talking about. Mm. Because heaven and eternity is a huge, beyond that, more than just the celestial city.
That gets deep.
And so chapter 21, time has ended. The 7,000th year is over that we've talked about on many occasions. And as a result, God's plan of 1,000 years equaling a day and equaling a day equaling 1,000 years. That 7,000th year is over. We've come to the great white throne judgment of God. Everybody that is not redeemed, every individual soul that has not received, come under the redemptive plan of God, every one of them is now forever banished to the lake of fire. Only redeemed people are left. And we will be in our glorified body. And now God brings that new Jerusalem down to that new earth. Not just for a little while, but for the eons of eternity to come.
Now, we were talking before we started the cameras rolling. And I asked you, there's difference of opinions.
Yeah.
I've heard people say that the new Jerusalem's shaped like a pyramid.
Right.
And then I've heard the cube. You lean towards the cube version.
Oh, yes. Well, in what is it, in verse number 16, I believe somewhere along in there, chapter 21 here, verse 6, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it is equal. If you had a pyramid, the distance from the corners to the top will be longer than they would be if they were a cube. So I lean toward it being a cube, and it's not just a little place either. It's amazing because in verse number 16 there, he said the 12,000 furlongs. There's 8 furlongs to the mile. And so we're looking at 1,500 miles all the way around.
Right.
That's 375 miles on a side. And if I've done the math right, and I've had it checked before, 140,620 square miles. That's a big city.
Yeah.
And if the height is the same as the length and the breadth, then there's 52,734,375 cubic miles.
Now, let me ask you this, Doc. There's stuff written about the kingdom age, not a lot, but there's Isaiah and other places. There's some little tidbits. There's a little bit in Revelation, but not. There's not really a lot of detail about what life is going to be like in the kingdom age. There's some. But what about this is after the 7,000 years.
This is after the new heaven. This is after this present earth is melted and reformed into a new one.
And the book of Peter, he talks about that this world will end in fire, melt away. And that's the preparation for the
great white throne judgment of God.
And then the new heaven and new earth. So is there anything in the Bible that gives any details at all about what our life will be like during that time?
Well, one of the things is we will have a body like unto Christ. So then we can go back and look at the resurrected body of Christ. He's on the road to Emmaus. All of a sudden he appears out of nowhere to these two walking on the road to Emmaus. He sets down, and when he opens and breaks bread and he shared with them all along the road, it's all of a sudden, where'd he go? And the next thing you know, the upper room, and these guys are scared to death, and the door's locked, and he just walks right through the door.
Yep.
So we get an idea that the body that we will have be like unto Christ. And by the way, the Bible tells us we'll have a mind like unto Christ. So we've always said, boy, won't it be nice to sit down and talk to Job, let's say, for instance, or talk to Moses. And get some, won't that be, we'll already know it. Yeah. And so it's going to be, there is no, it's kind of like this, Dan, and I use this illustration quite often. When a baby is in its mother's womb, all it knows is that watery house that it lives in. Mm-hmm. And you could have told that baby how great it's going to be on this side of birth. But it fights with everything it can to stay in the only world it knows. But once it gets on this side, it's like, wow. And as you experience it, wow. And it's kind of like that. There is no way that our finite minds in the present world that knows nothing but this creation, we do not have the ability to comprehend what's waiting for her. That's why Paul says the half hadn't been told, because we couldn't understand the half that has been.
You know, that's a great illustration about the baby in the womb.
Yes.
Fighting to stay. It's heard. You know.
And that's what we do. And it's it's okay. It's a human nature thing. We get sick. We get whatever. We do everything we can. We fight with everything we can to stay in this body. And that's understandable, because we are human.
Yeah.
And we have a fallen nature that we have to still deal with, even though we're saved. But it's just to say, once this life is over in the realm of time and we are born again, you step right out of here and you just step into a world of no time. Wow.
So there is an exception or two to that come to mind here. Elijah.
Yeah.
He knew he was getting ready to go up in the whirlwind. Mm-hmm. He didn't fight it. He didn't beg for another week. Now, Hezekiah did.
Hezekiah
on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And that's a good illustration of the baby in the womb.
I'm not so sure
he didn't want to leave.
Yeah. I'm not sure Hezekiah looks back on it now and wished he had it, because
he
made some terrible mistakes at the end. But anyway, yeah.
But Elijah, knowing, he knows the time of his death.
Yeah.
He knows he's going up in the world.
And Moses is going to walk up on the mountainside knowing it's in.
Yeah, and kind of like a slap in the face. Let me show you what you could have had, but you're getting ready to leave. I'm taking you home.
Well, you know, Abraham, we talked about this a little earlier, and I preach on this quite often, believing what God has said, not what your eyes see, because God had promised Abraham, this land. But Abraham lived 100 years in the promised land, living in a tent like a sojourner, because of one reason. He was looking for a builder, a city whose builder and maker was God. Somehow, I believe God must have given him a glimpse of this city, and he looked around and he said, there's not a thing down here worth, I'll just be patient to wait for when it comes.
And I was joking about that, not only in a tent, but a tent out in the middle of the sand and the desert and the wind.
And he was content to do that. And there's a lot of illustrations and good messages come out of that. Another thing, Dan, about the passage we're looking at here in chapter 21 is, as I mentioned a while ago, heaven is more and eternity is more than just this celestial city. Inside this celestial city, there's going to be the throne room of God. It no longer needs any candle, no sun to shine because the Lord's the light thereof. The river of life that flows through it. I don't know how it's going to be. When we get there, we'll understand. But, man, it's going to be a wonderful place.
Look at verse 9 here. It talks about the same angel that had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. He comes and talks to him, says, come hither. I will show thee. I want to show you something.
I'm going to show it to you.
This is amazing. Let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
That's us.
We're still important during this time.
We're moving into our new home here.
Yeah. And really, I guess the ultimate goal of the whole, the end of it all is not the kingdom age.
No.
The end of it all is the new heaven and new earth.
Because there's no end to the all. I mean, it's just from here on out. And so, we're going to have ruled and reigned with Christ. I don't know if we talked about that last time or not, but during the millennial age, we're going to rule and reign with. But those same responsibilities that we got at the judgment seat of Christ that turned into our ruling and reigning with Christ are going to continue through the ends of eternity. I don't know what that means. I can't understand it. When we get there, we will know.
I had a preacher, I don't know where he got this, and I don't know if it's true, but he said he believed that in eternity, that we'll be going to planets and we'll be living on planets.
I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know where that is in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible, but the fact that it does tell us that we will rule and reign throughout this time.
Yeah.
And let me just give a little something of science here that I think will be interesting. Everything that we have seen in our world today, right now, what people are saying, it's penciled with light. The displacement of atoms is penciled by light. And light rays curve. And I believe it's going to be like this throughout the eons of eternity. One day I walk across and, hey, Moses, how you doing? And tell me what it was like when you lifted your rod and the waters parted. Moses is going to say, I don't know where that light ray is. Come with me. And because we will be able to travel at the speed of thought, we'll be able to visit and watch all those things. But there's one thing you'll never see in all the eons of eternity. You'll never see your sin. Because Jesus took all of your sin upon himself on Calvary's cross. And what did God do for three hours?
Yeah.
He turned the lights out. There is no record of your sin.
Wow.
Oh, this is going to be
great.
That's
deep.
Eternity is going to be great. Man, I'm glad I'm going. Yeah.
Verse 22, I saw no temple there.
Yep.
Therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Yep.
Talks about the gates. I mean, he's talking about this new heaven, new earth.
Unbelievable gates. And of course, many of the preachers that may be watching us have probably preached messages on the gates of pearl, and they're open all the time, they're never shut. And a wonderful thing, wonderful, great preaching out of all of this.
But it's not the kingdom age, is it?
It's the new Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing them down here in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls.
Yes.
Yeah, and all that's right. You're right. This is not the kingdom age. I think we do get this mixed up sometimes.
Oh, yes, people do.
And well, let me quickly share verse 5 here, because this is interesting. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Yes.
And I wrote this in my...
That goes with chapter 1. He is true and faithful.
And I wrote this, rest assured, the problems and heartaches of this life will one day be over.
Oh.
And then I said this, God's word can be trusted above all else. Revelation 21:5 that I just read. God's word, it all goes back to this.
Absolutely.
He is the word of God. And I wrote, I said this under this point, rest assured the problems and heartaches of this life will one day be over. And I gave some verses here. Of course, verse 1, new heaven, new earth, that sounds pretty good. Whew. That's an end of all of our problems. But Revelation 3:11, behold, it come quickly. Hold fast this, that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Yeah.
Revelation 2:25, but that which ye have already, hold fast until I come. Why? Because it'll all be over when he comes.
It is.
And the verse that we started this program with, Titus 2:13, the blessed hope, glorious appearing, that ends all problems.
Yes.
It's all over then. And overcomers enjoy a unique relationship with the Lord. That's verse 7. I don't think I read that. But he that overcometh, and by basically an overcomer is one who's born again, one who's trusted
Christ.
Because
through Christ is where we become an overcomer. Yeah.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Yes. Well, that's a in Hebrews, I can't remember the passage exactly, but in Hebrews, one of the reasons why Jesus came was so that he might be able to bring many sons and daughter unto the Father. Yeah.
The gates of pearl are symbolic of the great cost of salvation. Verse 21, we won't try to read it there, but... Listen, and also in verse 21, nothing can compare to the splendor of heaven. And of course, this is the new heaven and new earth. I'll take either one of them, but well, I'm not picky.
You know, people say, well, why do we even need an earth? Because God made man to dwell on earth.
Personal application. When you hear the words, well done, thou good and... Will you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because not everybody's going to hear that.
No.
Am I doing my best to win my friends and loved ones
Jesus? That's what all of this, folks, is to motivate us for the purpose of trying to, at least you want to get your family saved.
Am I living by faith in the written word of God?
Yes.
Have I expressed my gratitude to God for the suffering of that 3 hours of darkness you talked about that Christ paid to redeem my soul?
Mm.
And this is good. The sorrows of this life cannot compare to the glory that's coming in the next life.
Amen.
For all of eternity. Doc, I'll leave you a few seconds here.
Folks, listen. The only way you're going to be here is to, while living in the realm of time, to receive Christ as your Savior. And the only way to change your destiny from hell to heaven is to be born again. Place your faith and trust in Christ. If you have, your name's written in that Lamb's Book of Life we looked at last session, and you're going to enjoy the splendors of this new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth for eternity.
What a deal. Who wouldn't take a deal like that?
Yes.
It costs you nothing. It costs him everything. What a deal. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.